It's good for us to be once again come before the Word of God and see what God would indeed want us to hear through the Spirit this morning. And just thinking of looking at a section from Exodus and beginning with, you know, God revealing Himself to Moses. You know, the book of Hebrews says that Moses verily was faithful, verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. So he fulfilled his responsibilities as a servant. And it is good for us to look into his life and learn from the experiences that he went through, the encounters that he had with God, to help us understand how he was molded to fit in, to fulfill the plan and purpose of God. So that's going to be the exercise that I have looking at few opportunities to look into the Word of God, to look into some of the occasions where God called Moses unto himself. And I want to focus on five times God called Moses unto himself. And each time God called Moses unto himself, he was revealing certain aspect of his being. Certain aspect of his character was been revealed to Moses. And we know that when we look at the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, God called Moses to fulfill a great responsibility. You know, when you think of the great task that was given by God to him to redeem the children of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh, the most powerful ruler during that time, and to release the children of Israel from his powerful grip, and to lead them through the wilderness, and enter them, you know, make their way into the promised land. And that's a great task, and he was able to do it. And we see that God was equipping him, preparing him as a wonderful vessel to fulfill the plan of God. So from Exodus chapter 3 to Leviticus chapter 1, Moses was called by God five times. And each time when God called, he revealed certain aspects of his character to Moses. And there were distinct revelations of God himself. So each time God called, he manifested himself in a certain degree to Moses. And it was a great opportunity for Moses to learn or to understand the mind and will of God. So he's going to be serving this great master, God himself. So in order for him to serve God, he has to understand the character of God, the mind of God, the will of God. And Moses is being exposed to understand something about God each time. So, in short, God was preparing him. You know, it's just not one time that God appeared to him and he revealed himself, but it was progressively. It was, you know, step by step, God was revealing himself and showing him the extent of responsibility that he need to carry upon him. So I just want to look at those five occasions where God met or God called Moses unto himself. And there are five occasions. Today we will look at the first one. So let me just go through the five occasions here. The first one, the revelation of his person. That is what God displayed. It says, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Second time, the revelation of his principles, what he demands. And that is Exodus 19:3. And the Lord called unto him out of the mountain. Third occasion, the revelation of his purity, what he dictates. Exodus 19:20. And the Lord called Moses up to the mount of top of the mount. Fifth time, revelation of his pattern, what he desires. Exodus 24:16. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the final one in Leviticus 1:1, the revelation of his pleasure, what he deserves, the Lord called unto Moses. So let's just focus on the first point this morning, the revelation of his person, what he displayed. This is just an overview of what we are going to look at this morning from this passage. So the passage that we want to look at is Exodus 3:4. So certain portions of chapter 4 as well as chapter 3, certain sections. Just as we start, just want to read a couple of verses. Exodus 3, read from verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And the passage continues here. So, want to look at first the picture, what he saw here in this encounter. And secondly, look at the person, God Almighty. Then we'll look at the plan that God has for him and the proof that God is going to give to Moses about the whole plan of God. And let's look at the picture. You know, as I said, God is revealing himself to Moses step by step, and he's going to be used in the work of God. And this is something not only, you know, when we see in the life of Moses, but others who have been called by God. Now, God would reveal himself to the person who is being called. And there are several examples in our scripture. So, when God calls us for his ministry, when God entrusts something for us to fulfill in our life, the first thing that he does is reveal himself to us. So, as we go through this passage, I want to think about our own lives. Now, what plan God has for us, and how we can fulfill our own spiritual responsibilities that God is giving us. So one thing that we need to understand is, you know, we need to know God. We need to know who he is, and every time we see how God revealed himself in the scripture, you know, it's a great learning for us, so that, you know, we can prepare ourselves to please God as we serve him. So this is a wonderful passage of the scripture that we can look into and see what God, you know, really deserves from our life as we look unto him. So the first thing that we see here is that it's a unique encounter with God. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. You know, we know, Moses was there out for 40 years, feeding the flock. And I don't think that he has seen something like this before. And when he saw this bush burning, You may not have seen bush burning, but this is something unique. Something unique in the fact that bush is, you see that fire, but the bush is not consumed. It's not consumed. It's unnatural. Right? When you have this fire, it's the natural thing. It's, you know, it turns into ashes. But here is something that has touched the attention of Moses. It is something unique. He has never seen that. And that, you know, took hold of him. That took hold of him. And he was, you know, turning his face towards that. And it says, it was a great sight that caught Moses' attention. And in verse 3 says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. No, it's not a consuming fire. You know, it's the presence of God. And not as a consuming fire, but, you know, he's displaying his presence in the midst of, you know, to Moses. And it's a great sight. You know, it excited him. We know that he was taking care of the sheep, and he had a great responsibility in that regard. But he's turning his face away from his flock, and he's turning his attention to what he's seeing before his eyes. And that's a great sight. And that's something that, you know, we can apply in our spiritual life. And God brings something before us that demands our attention. He's conveying a message to us that, you know, we need to look at him and understand what is the expectation that God for us in our life. We may be busy with other things in our life, but when God, you know, speaks to us, when God speaks to us through his word, it demands our full attention. And this is what Moses is doing here. He's committing his full attention before the scene. And primarily, when you look at this picture, you know, it's a picture of some that conveys the fact that here is the children of Israel. They are in this furnace. They are, you know, they are passing through this sorrow, this under the taskmasters, and God is coming to help them. But beyond that, you know, as we look in terms of the New Testament, I see it as something of the picture of the cross. You know, it reminds us of the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, the divine person who came into this world, who was put on the cross. Everybody thought that he's going to be consumed. Everybody thought that he will end up in the grave. But here we see the Lord Jesus Christ victorious over death. Nothing of that fire really consumed the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, you know, that has attracted our heart. That has touched our attention. And we are here this morning because we saw that picture. That picture has transformed our life. The person that we saw on the cross of Calvary, out of this pain and suffering and death, did not touch him. He is risen. In terms of New Testament passage, I have a verse here, a few verses from here from Acts chapter 3, verse 13 to 15. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom he had delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Wherefore we are witnesses. So even though he was denied his rights, and he was put on the cross, even though they killed him, the Prince of Life, God raised him. And that's a great sight for us. There is always a sight that satisfies our heart to see that our Lord endured the cross and is risen. at the right hand of God. And here we have a wonderful illustration from Brother Bilson. Thank you. And see that God, you know, the bush burning, and Moses, you know, just by that side, and his shoes off, and he's standing before that. So it's a wonderful sketch of what we are going through here. Thank you, Bilson, for that. And as we read here, verse 4, and the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him. So that's the word, the phrase that I want to emphasize. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. So just look at the double address here. He's saying, Moses, Moses. You know, God is exclusively talking to Moses. And God wants his full attention. So God has come down before him, and he's trying to convey a message to Moses. And he's calling him twice, Moses, Moses. He has to set aside everything at that moment. He has to completely turn his attention. All what he's doing, you know, is secondary at that point of time. And he's going to look at the Lord who is calling him. You know, when we are in the presence of God, he demands our full attention. You know, it's true that sometimes we are distracted and, you know, we are caught up with so many things, but God's desire for us, when God has a responsibility to fulfill, to serve him, he expects or demands our full attention. So God is calling him, Moses, Moses. And there are other passages or other persons, like at least seven people have been called by God or addressed God, the double address that we see in the scripture. So in every occasion there is a certain degree of emphasis. God wants them to really focus on him when he's calling, when he's talking to those people. So that's something that we can, you know, implement in our life when we are in the presence of God, when God wants to convey a certain message. He needs dedication. He needs our attention. And that's what Moses is doing here. He's turning towards God. Now let's move to the second point that I want to bring. That is the person. So we saw the picture. And now the person. God is, you know, revealing himself, certain aspects of his character to him. So the first one that we see, verse 5, and he turned, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off the shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So the first thing that God revealed to Moses is his holiness. God said, you know, even though God came down and was before him, God said, don't come near me because I am holy. So this is the first aspect of God's character that has been revealed to Moses. So that's very important for us. You know, God is trying to convey the immensity of his holiness. That is something that we need to grasp. You know, if we want to be serving God, if we want to fulfill God's plan for us in our life, to serve him, we need to understand that God is holy. And that's what God conveys to Moses, the very first. The first aspect of this encounter is God is conveying the fact that He is holy. Because that's going to affect His service. If you want to serve Him faithfully, His walk, you need to walk in accordance with His holiness to be fruitful, to be successful in His spiritual life. And this is something that we see in the scripture, you know, whenever God called somebody and entrusted the responsibilities of fulfilling certain things, God always reveals His holiness. And in the case of Joshua, now when he was about to conquer Jericho, we read about the captain of the Lord of hosts that appeared to Joshua and said the same thing about removing the shoes, the sandals, because of the holiness. So if they want to go out and be victorious in the battle that they're going to engage, they need to remind themselves of the holiness of God. And we have seen the experiences there that they faced when they were not holy, when their lives have been contaminated, when they were filled with sin. Achan is an example for that. And we see that how important for them to be holy in order for them to be successful. So, in the case of Moses also, God is conveying that God is holy. And without holiness, he cannot be successful in fulfilling God's responsibilities. And another example, Isaiah chapter 6. To Isaiah, what he heard being uttered by the seraphims, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." He is getting that sense of the holiness of God, echoed to his ears, that God is holy. God is holy. He's going to be called to serve Him. But this point that is important for them is, you know, God is holy. And we serve Him by being holy, to go along with Him to fulfill responsibilities. So, holiness is the first aspect of His revelation. Then He also reveals something about His faithfulness. Verse 6, "Moreover, He said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. After revealing the holiness of God, He also conveying something about the faithfulness of God. "I am the God of thy father, Abraham, and God of Isaac, and God of Jacob." And if you look at the promises that God made to Abraham, and just concerning something about the land, Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, "And he said unto Abram, Know for a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. They shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." So the promise that God made to Abraham is going to fulfill. So when God came down and speaking with Moses, He's saying that, "No, I remember the promise that I made with your father, Abraham, that God is going to come down and deliver them." God is a faithful God. You know, what God has promised, He will fulfill. And that's what exactly God is doing here. Even though they were there for 400 years under slavery, but God came down. He came down to fulfill what He has promised. And Also to Isaac, God made promises there. Genesis chapter 26, verse 2 and 3, "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." So God is, you know, making that same promise that they're going to get this land. God is going to bring them into this land. So God did not forget his promises. So here is bringing these promises before, these thoughts before Moses, that God is faithful in fulfilling his responsibilities. And also to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, verse 13 to 15, says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, and God of Isaac." See, he's going back again to the fathers. "The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." So God is constantly adhering to the promise that he made to the fathers, and he is conveying that even to Moses, that no, God is fulfilling his responsibility. He came down to fulfill what he has promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, isn't it wonderful to serve a God who is faithful? God is always, you know, been so gracious to us. God, even though, you know, we, you know, step away from fulfilling our own responsibilities, yet God forgives us and continue to show his faithfulness in our life. So let us continue to trust in him and be encouraged by the fact that God is going to fulfill what he has promised. And let us continue to serve him. Then the third aspect of his character that we see is that in the same verse, what it has produced to Moses. When second half of verse 6, "And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." You know, it kind of, he was coming closer, but God said, you know, wait a minute, you cannot come closer to me. So he took off his shoes. And it came to a point that he was not able to even look at God, because God continues to reveal himself to him. So he knew that he's a righteous God. You know, when we see in the book of Romans that, you know, the Israelites, they were ignorant of God's righteousness, and they were going about establishing their own righteousness. But on the other hand, Moses knew that, you know, with his own righteousness, he cannot approach the presence of God. He hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God. And that's the third aspect of his revelation that he that we see from here. And and turning to verse 7, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." So here we see something about the kindness or compassion of or greatness of God. You know, God has not forgotten the children of Israel. Even though it passed 400 years, God is faithful to His promise. Now He's showing His kindness, His compassion to these people who are crying out to God. In chapter 2, verse 24, says, God heard the groaning and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God heard the cry. God came down. So it kind of shows us the kindness of God. God was very sensitive to their needs, their affliction. And God came down to deliver the children of Israel, the kindness of God. And as we come to the New Testament, Titus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Thank God that He came down because of His kindness and love that we are saved. He took us out of the place of affliction and sorrow, released us from the powerful grip of Satan. We are no more slaves of sin, but God delivered us. Thank God for His kindness. And that's what God is revealing to Moses, that He is a kind God. Now, before going to the third point, we have looked at the kindness of God, the faithfulness of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. And, if you think of this in terms of the book of Exodus, we see something of the reverse nature. So, to Moses, God revealed the holiness of God and the kindness of God, lastly here in this verse, but if you look at the outline of book of Exodus, chapter 1 to 14, we see kind of the kindness and greatness of God, in that God came down. He's trying to, calling Moses, and He's sending out them to Pharaoh and to deliver them. So God is showing the kindness. In chapter 15 to 18, God is showing the faithfulness of God. God is giving them their provisions, their manna, the water, everything that is needed. He's a faithful God. And chapter 19 to 24, the righteousness of God. God is revealing His laws and what is His expectation. And chapter 25 to 40, the holiness of God. How to approach God, the temple, and the vessels in the temple, all speaks about the holiness of God, how they would approach the presence of God. So that's something that I see as being comes in a reverse order, as opposed to what God revealed Himself to Moses. Now let's look at the third point. That's the plan of God. So here we see that God is, from verses 8 onwards, God is, says that I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good land, a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey. So God has a plan for Moses. Now, when God revealed Himself, He revealed His character and everything, but God also revealed His plan. Plan of redeeming the children of Israel. And that's something that is consistent with the covenant that He made with His father. So God, whatever God has promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God is, fulfilling it. And that plan never changes. And God is able to fulfill that plan. And He has the power to redeem them from Egypt, from the hands of Pharaoh. And He's able to bring them to the promised land. So I don't want to elaborate that. Let me go to the final point, the proof that we see in chapter 4. Even though it's a proof, but it's kind of a precaution. There are several ways in which we can look at this, but just see it as a precaution. Because in the chapter 3, you know, in chapter 3, he's learning something about God. In chapter 3, Moses is learning something about God, or he's getting to know his God in chapter 3. But in chapter 4, he's getting to know himself. And that's what I want to put at this, the last slide here. The proof. No, chapter 3, he's getting to know his God. And chapter 4, he's getting to know himself. So let me look at that here. So his question was, you know, verse 1, chapter 4, verse, and Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe, nor hearken unto my voice, for they shall say, the Lord hath not appeared to me. So, even though it's giving us a proof, God is bringing before them three items here. The first one, the rod. What is in your hand? And he said, a rod. So, rod, as we know, it's a symbol of authority. You know, it's kind of, he was using to lead the flock. And we see that, you know, from this point, you know, it's been made powerful, and he was using it to fulfill God's purpose. So the rod, and but he has to be careful with the rod. It could be, it could turn itself into a serpent. That's what God is trying to tell him here. And as we know, the serpent in Genesis, and also the serpent in the following. In the following book, you know, what it has caused. So, what God is trying to tell him is that, you know, you need to be very careful about what's in your hand, your abilities, you know, the way in which you use your precision, your power. If it's out of control, it could be deadly as a serpent. Then, the heart is showing about, you know, putting his head, put the hand in the bosom, and he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. So, leprosy, as we know, it's a type of sin, and what God is trying to tell him is, you know, in his heart, there could be sin concealed, but it could appear as leprosy. So he need to control his heart away from sin. And we know in the case of Miriam and later on, and how leprosy could affect one's life. So God is telling, be careful with your heart. It could be hidden sin that would destroy the plan of God, and it could be deadly, just like the serpent. And finally, the water of the river, that's where he was taken out. And you know, you always think about how God, you know, saved you and took you out of that place, or if you are out of touch with that, it could be like that blood, you know, blood out of body. You know, it's not good, right? So it loses that life, loses its ability. So God is trying to tell Moses, no, here are things that need to be careful. And it's also not only that God is revealing himself, but God is revealing the heart of Moses to himself, so that he can be better prepared, equipped to fulfill the ministry of God. So may God continue to prepare us to fulfill his responsibilities by trying to know more about him and his plan, and trying to better understand who we are and how we can fail if we are not being responsible. Let's thank God. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing thy word to us this morning. We pray that it may continue to encourage us. Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself through thy word, and we pray that we may be able to understand you more and more every day, and help us to understand ourselves and where we could fail in fulfilling your responsibilities, Father. May continue to bless us this morning. Thank you, Father.